नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग गोवर्धन पूजा। I will speak for some time, and then Srila Prabhupada will bless us with Giriraj Maharaj to speak about Giriraj Maharaj. This incredible pastime, which is described by Sri Shukadev Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described in Harivamsa, Vishnu Purana. It has been elaborated through vision, spiritual visions and realizations by countless great Paramhamsa Acharyas. Krishna, who has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies, the most powerful of all of his potencies, is the power of his affection for his devotees, bhakta vatsal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls this the crest jewel of all of the infinitely good qualities of Krishna. Krishna can fulfill limitless purposes through any action. An expansion of Lord Krishna, an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, is Karanadakshayi Vishnu, or Mahavishnu. Simply by a single glance, he activates the entire cosmic manifestation. He impregnates within the Mahatattva of material nature unlimited jivas, or living entities. He activates through his glance the power of time, which sets the three modes of material nature in action. And the whole process of creation, maintenance, and destruction, it's all happening by the power of one little glance. In this Govardhan Leela, Krishna, he wanted to keep his promise. It is Krishna's eternal promise. He restates it in Bhagavad Gita, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. That I will always protect my devotee. And in this particular Leela, Krishna's protecting so many devotees in very different ways. He's protecting Indra from his own false pride. Where there is false pride or ahankar, the will to serve with devotion, bhakti, is crippled. It is most powerful enemy to true devotional service, false pride. Indra is actually a devotee. Sometimes you may laugh at him because he makes mistakes. But he's such a great devotee that Krishna utilizes him to make these mistakes. And he's repeatedly within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna takes very, very powerful people when he wants to teach a lesson to the world, in both positive and negative ways. Krishna wanted to protect Indra from his false pride because it was impeding his whole purpose in life. At the same time, he protected all the Brijavasis by giving them an experience that they all yearned for. For 7 days and seven nights, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan were with Krishna 24 hours a day. It was a festival like no other festivals. At the same time, Krishna wanted to teach that my devotees should know that I am the cause of all causes, the source of all incarnations. They should not be distracted by the worship of devatas. Now in Vrindavan we see there are places where devatas are worshipped, but they're worshipped for developing love for Krishna, for the purpose of enhancing our Krishna consciousness, not a diversion away. The story begins on this day. It's being celebrated with so many firecrackers. The monkeys dancing on the roof is such a pleasing sound. Krishna, in the village of Vrindavan, he happened to see that Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas, they were arranging a very elaborate religious ceremony. Krishna understood exactly what was happening. But in his own childlike way, at the time, he was only 7 years old. He approached his father, Nanda Maharaj. He said, I see everywhere there are people running here and there in so many ways, preparing for some sort of yajna or sacrifice. Can you tell me, what is it? Who is it for? And why? Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj was hesitating to explain it to him because he's a small child and these yajnas are very technical sometimes, even for adults. Krishna said, why are you hesitating? There should be no secrets among honest people with family members. And I'm your son, so you tell me openly, what are you doing, who are you doing it for, and why? And Nanda Maharaj said, we are a community of cowherd men and women, and we depend on agricultural crops and grass to grow. And all of this is only possible due to rain. Whether it rains or not is beyond the ability of humans to control. It is supervised by the great demigod Indra. And to satisfy Indra, to provide rains, our forefathers for generations and generations and generations have done this Indra Puja every year at this time. Krishna, he spoke a philosophy that he didn't even believe in, and he didn't want any of us to believe in it. But he spoke it just to enchant our hearts for a higher purpose. And one of those higher purposes was to make Indra really angry. This 7-year-old little talkative boy, he said, "Father, there's no reason to worship Indra. Because after all, everything is happening, the good results and bad results, according to our karma. If we perform good work, we're going to get good karma. And if we perform bad, we're going to get bad karma. And all the demigods could do is be agents to deliver the karma that we deserve. So we're pious people, we're doing good, therefore Indra has to send us rains. Rain is coming due to the mode of passion. Creation is passion, maintenance is goodness, and destruction is ignorance. These are the three modes of material nature that prevail over the different elements of the universe. So for the creation of our crops, and our grasses, and the prosperity of filling the rivers and the lakes, all we have to do is perform our duties with proper intentions, because work is worship. Brahmins, their duty is to perform yagas, to study scriptures, to teach others. Kshatriyas, to maintain law and order, to protect all the citizens. Vaishyas, by agriculture, cow protecture, trading and commerce and money lending. And the Shudras, by assisting those who are protecting them. We are Vaishyas. We are in a community where we protect cows. So why should we indirectly, uselessly waste our time worshiping this Indra? After all, Indra has to give what he's destined to give us. But the reality is, whatever prosperity we have, it's because we're being blessed by the Brahmins. And because our cows are providing so much milk to us, and the bulls are tilling our fields, and fresh grasses and sweet waters are all being provided by Govardhan Hill. So with all the same paraphernalia that you have assembled here to worship Indra, my dear father, we should worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And then he gave instructions of Nanda Maharaj how to do it. He said, we should take all of this bhoga, all of this food, and everything else there is in Brijbhumi, and all the milk and all the ghee from the cows, and we should make mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga. Cakes and sweet cakes and kheers and sabjis and chapatis and rice, and we'll cover it with wonderful ghee, and we'll make an anakuta, mountains and lakes of food, and we'll offer it to Govardhan Hill. And we'll also have the Brahmins performing their yajnas, and we'll decorate and feed the cows with the freshest, most tasteful grasses. Nanda Maharaj and all the Brijabasis, their ultimate wish in life was simply to make Krishna happy. If Krishna's happy, everything is success. Atapum birdvijas trestas varanashram vibhagashashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haditoshanam. Whatever our occupation, whatever our ashram, whatever our status in society is, the only true success comes when the sincerity of our effort gives pleasure to Krishna. Samsidhir haditoshanam. It is the perfection. And if we don't please Krishna, shrama eva hi kevalam, it's all a waste of time. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. And Krishna says, even if you offer to me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water, if it is offered with bhakti, with devotion, I'm pleased to accept it. Understand the nature of Nanda Maharaj and the Brijvasis. They had no hesitation to go against a tradition of the king of the demigods, Indra, if it pleases Krishna. Govinda Das, the great poet, prayed, Bhaja hure manasri nanda nandana abhaya charanara vindare. My dear mind, just worship Sri Nandanandana. Because by pleasing him, you become fearless. The predominating emotion in the whole material creation is fear. Fear of loss. Fear of humiliation. Fear of not getting what you want. Fear of disease and death. Most of the money that's invested directly or slightly indirectly, if we examine its motivation, it's fear. But here we find the simple, pure-hearted residents of Vrindavan. They were fearless because their only desire in life was to please Krishna. Anxiety and fear is only because we have separate desires other than that. Maya tricks us in so many ways, thinking if I get this desire fulfilled, I will find some peace, some security, or some happiness. But actually, every time we fulfill our desires or don't fulfill our desires, every time we strive to fulfill our selfish material desires that are separate from Krishna, we're only implicating and complicating the anxieties and fears of this world. It's so simple. If we have no other aspiration to please Krishna, and in that state of mind, in whatever situation comes, we can become blissfully fearless when we call out his holy name. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and all the Brijavasis unanimously accepted, yes, whatever Krishna wants. That's our goal in life. Krishna knew was about to come. So they prepared these giant mountains and lakes of food, bhoga. And meanwhile, The Brahmins were performing their fire sacrifices and chanting Vedic mantras. And Nanda Maharaj and his people, they gave happiness to all the cows. For many years, I took care of cows. And sometimes they kick. But it's really purifying when they kick you. But ultimately, cows, they just like to look nice, and they like to feel nice, and they like to be loved. See? And when I'd brush their faces, and I would so... After I would milk the cows and feed them, I would brush every hair on their body exactly in the direction that it naturally went. Yes, with a special cow brush. And when those cows would come out of the goshala, they would be smiling and dancing because they just looked so nice. And it's not just that they look nice, it's the time, the attention, and the affection that you give them to make them look nice. Srila Prabhupada taught us that cow protection in the spirit of Vrindavan, it's not just about not killing them. It's about giving them extreme happiness through feeling that they're loved and they're cared for. So they were giving they were feeding the cows the freshest grasses. And then they were putting gold-plated ornaments with jewels on their horns and silver-plated jeweled ornaments on their hooves. And they had hand-embroidered silk that they were putting around their bodies. And there were 900,000 cows, just Nanda Maharajas. Then there were so many others. In this way, it was a beautiful festival, and the cows were just so happy, and the Brahmins were so happy. Everyone was giving blessings. And then, under Krishna's direction, they offered these massive mountains and lakes of bhoga to Govardhan. The mountain. At that time, Krishna personally manifested himself in a gigantic form on top of Govardhan Hill. It was extraordinary. How I wish we could all have the eyes to see this. With the Govardhan Hill 5,000 years ago was a gigantic mountain. And equal in size, standing on top of the mountain of Govardhan, was Krishna in the form of Govardhan. And when all the Brijabasis saw this, they were struck with wonder. And then that beautiful form of the Lord on top of Govardhan Hill, as Govardhan Hill spoke, "I am Govardhan, and I have come to receive all of your offerings." Krishna and Balaram bowed down. Krishna bowed down to himself in his little form of a cowherd boy. And all the Brijabasis bow down to Krishna, who manifested the eternal truth that he is non-different than Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is his transcendental body. And Srila Prabhupada tells us that since that time, when someone has the blessings of their guru and they're very, very, well-equipped devotees, they can worship a single stone of Govardhan Hill, and it's none different than worshiping the deity of Krishna, because he is Krishna. We spoke the other day of Lord Chaitanya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, when he was doing his Govardhan Parikrama, the first stone of Govardhan that he saw in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he embraced that stone and wept incessant tears. Sri Radha was united personally, intimately, again with Krishna in the form of Sri Giriraj. And in Puri, for 3 years, he worshipped a small little Govardhan Shila, about this big. And that Govardhan Shila, he knew, he felt that this is the body of Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. And that Shila was constantly moistened by the tears of Lord Chaitanya's love. Yes, on that day, Lord Krishna revealed himself as Govardhan Hill. And then he had inconceivable potencies to accept everyone's offerings. There was offerings everywhere, as far as Nandagaon. He was just reaching all at once. He had long arms, short arms, and all of a sudden he just ate everything. There was nothing left because it was all offered with devotion. This is Krishna's inconceivable power to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. Hence, there was nothing left. And there's a village and a Govardhan Parikrama. It is named Aniyor, because after Lord Giriraj ate everything, what hundreds and thousands of humans can't eat, he ate in a moment. Aniyor, give me more. But please know, when he was saying Aniyor, it was a mountain that was thunderously speaking. But there was nothing left in the whole of Brajbhumi. It is said that Krishna had a single tulsi leaf offered with love. And Giriraj said, I am satisfied. And then, just to reciprocate with his devotees' love, within an instant, all those massive mountains and lakes and ponds and creeks of prasad manifested again. And under Krishna's instruction, they fed the Brahmins, they fed the Kshatriyas, they fed the cowherd men and women, they fed the dogs and the cats, they fed everybody. There was such an incredible feast that no one was left out. And then, totally satisfied by this incredible experience, Krishna led them on the parikrama of Govardhan Hill, where the cows and the calves and the gopas and the gopis and the brahmins, they all were doing Giriraj parikrama. And what a blissful parikrama that was. Krishna was sometimes playing his flute. Devotees, Brahmins were chanting mantras, the gopas were dancing and laughing, there were people playing instruments, there was incredible kirtans of Krishna's holy names. Everyone was just so happy. Everyone's full consciousness was totally immersed in Krishna, remembering Krishna's beauty, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's love, Krishna's names. This was the festival of all festivals. Because when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. When Krishna is satisfied, all of his devotees feel the highest happiness. So many years they did this Indra Puja. And it was always boring. We've been through these long pujas together before. But this Govardhan Puja, incredible! Can you imagine the happiness of seeing Krishna manifested in his gigantic form and eating all of these mountains of prasad? And then Krishna was just so happy with it all. Everyone was dancing and singing as they did the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. And then they all went back to their homes. So happy. Everyone was happy. Except Indra. He was furious. He felt totally insulted and humiliated in front of his wife, in front of his servants, in front of all of the other demigods. It was unbearable to him. What was rightfully his in his eyes was being offered to a hill. He called for the Samvartaka cards. These are the clouds that are especially called for universal destruction. These Samvartaka clouds have the power, when they shower rain on earth during the time of a deluge, that there's no more land. The entire earth planet becomes a deep ocean. Indra called for these clouds, and he spoke. He was so angry. He was so intoxicated by wrath. He said, I want you to go, and with all the powers you destroy planets, I want you to destroy this village of Vrindavan. Because the Brijabasis, because they have so much prosperity due to cows and good agricultural crops, they have become proud. And in the vanity of their arrogance, they are intoxicated and they have offended me. Being misguided by this insignificant, talkative little child, Krishna. This is very revealing. The world is a mirror of our own consciousness. The whole, or one of the main purposes of Krishna doing all this was to deflate Indra's pride. But Indra is thinking that Krishna's proud. Indra's thinking that the Brijabasis are intoxicated with false pride. If you're envious, you see envy in others. If you're crooked, you see crookedness in others. If you're proud, you see pride in others. This was Indra. He's telling the Samvartaka clouds that I am going to once and for all cure the residents of Vrindavan of their intoxicated false ego. by destroying them. But what was actually happening is Krishna was in the process of destroying his intoxicating false ego. So he said, go, destroy everything, and I will be right behind you on my Airavata elephant with all of my thunderbolts, and I will bring with me the most powerful of the wind gods to create hurricanes and tornadoes and cyclones. The clouds obeyed their master. And here in Vrindavan, suddenly, these massive dark clouds filled the sky. They were forming thicker and thicker and thicker. These clouds were so dense and so dark that it made everything absolutely pitch dark, except because Krishna, from his body, Brahma Samhita tells us, the Brahma Jyoti is manifesting. Everybody could see perfectly. It was dark up there, but everybody could see because Krishna was manifesting his light, but they didn't really understand what was happening. And as the clouds were forming, we have never seen clouds like this. When you see them, you're about to die. Unless you're a Brijabasi. Thunder, lightning, then torrents of rains. Our scripture tells us it wasn't drops of rain. The rain was coming down with such force. It was like hundreds and thousands of rivers falling from the sky simultaneously. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains it was like columns, like pillars of rains falling. One of our acharyas explains another analogy. It was like a gigantic ancient banyan tree with all of its trunks coming down. It was endless. It became freezing cold, and the winds were unbearable. There were cows who were trying to protect their little baby calves. And that loose skin that is under their neck, they were putting that over their little babies' bodies like a little umbrella, and somehow or other wrapping around their calves to protect their calves from the winds and the rains and the cold. And meanwhile, the cows were trembling and shivering, and their hairs were standing on end, and tears were falling from their eyes as they were mooing in pain. And the bulls were looking up, their eyes red with anger as the rain was falling on their horns and falling on the humps on their backs. They were growling. And the Brijabasis, they all came running to Krishna because, after all, he was their own child or friend or lover. But when there was a difficult situation, they didn't see him as God, but they understood there's no other shelter than him. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. The Vrijavasis prayed, oh Krishna, don't you see this intense pitiable suffering of your beloved cows. And look at us. We're freezing. This rain, we can't see what is a level part of the ground anymore. Everything is becoming like an ocean. Krishna smiled. He understood. Indra is very angry. And then he said to his family members of Vrindavan, he said, "Do not be afraid." And then, according to our acharyas, by Krishna's yogamaya potency, temporarily, for just a flash of a minute or so, where Krishna ran from his home to Govardhan Hill, no rain would fall. That way, when he got to Govardhan Hill, he was completely dry. And then to please his devotees and to crush the pride of Indra, 7-year-old little Gopal, he lifted Govardhan Hill as effortlessly as a small child lifts a mushroom. We don't eat mushrooms, but we lift mushrooms. So he lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand, and with his left hand, just the tip of his little finger. And then he called out to all the Brijabasis, "Just see, because you all gave so much happiness to Govardhan by worshiping him with so much love and devotion and giving him so much bhoga and so much nice love, that now Govardhan has become like an umbrella to protect us from the rains. Please bring whatever valuables, your cows, and let us enjoy under Govardhan Hill." And everyone brought whatever was dearest to their heart, and they all assembled under Giriraj. Incredibly, because Giriraj is none different than Krishna. We had already heard the story yesterday of how in Krishna's tiny little mouth, he could contain the entire universe with mountains and oceans and all living entities. So even though there were so many cows and so many Brijabasis, the Harivamsa explains that because Govardhan is none different than Krishna, the entire universe could have been safe from rains under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill. Everyone gathered. And as Krishna lifted it, the Govardhan Hill, it made such a tumultuous sound. Can you imagine a mountain being uprooted from the ground? And by Krishna's own will, his Icha Shakti, the power of his own desire, there was some dirt and rocks falling from Govardhan to make a little boundary wall. And also, whatever water fell off the mountain, it dried up before it reached the ground, so no water could get under the hill. So it was just a beautiful arrangement. And all the gopas and all the gopis and all the cows, in all four directions, they surrounded Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Everyone, the calves, the cows, the buffaloes, the goats, the peacocks, the gopis, the gopas, the brahmins, everyone was thinking, not only thinking, they were experiencing that Krishna is only looking at me. They were in a full circle around Gopal, but yet Krishna was exchanging the deepest, most intimate pastimes of love with all of them through his glance. Each of the residents of Vrindavan were reciprocating with Krishna according to their particular relationships. The Brahmins were blessing him. The Gopas, they were joking with him and laughing with him and making all kinds of funny sounds to make him happy, and Krishna was doing the same for them. And the Gopis, a little distance away, through the love of their glance, they were offering Krishna the intimacy of the love of their hearts. And through his glance, he was entering into their hearts, and deep in the very core of their hearts, they were satisfying all of their innermost desires to embrace Krishna and feel Krishna's embrace. And this was all happening through their eyes. And Yashoda and those who had parental affection for Krishna, they were feeling the ecstasy of distress. There's a particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Shukadev Goswami explains when Krishna and Balaram were crawling around Vrindavan, their mothers, Rohini and Yashoda, were always worried. They were thinking that they may get stabbed by the horn of a cow or a bull, or they may get scratched by the teeth of a dog, or the teeth or the claws of a monkey or a cat, or they may crawl into a thorn that pierces their body, or they may get damaged by the rocks and the stones and the road, or a calf or a cow may step on them. In this way, Krishna's mothers were always immersed in the transcendental ecstasy of anxiety. This is bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, by his example and by his inspiration, he didn't teach us to avoid anxiety. He taught us to be absorbed, whatever situation, in loving service to Krishna. And if we're actually absorbed in such a spirit to serve, then our anxiety only intensifies our ecstasy. Madhu Mangal, he said, don't anybody think that Krishna's tired because by my Brahman Tejas, I am chanting mantras and that is causing Giriraj to float in the sky. And Yashoda Mai, she was looking up at Krishna and she was thinking, this mountain is so hard and it's so heavy and it's so huge and it's on my little son's finger. It must hurt him so much and he must be so tired. It's already been so many hours that he's holding up Govardhan Hill and look, there's perspiration on his hair and on his face. And Krishna said, my mother, don't think like this. I'm just having fun. Said, because we please Govardhan so much, he's so happy, he's just floating. I'm just an instrument standing here, but actually Giriraj doesn't weigh anything. by his own. Yeshoda Mai said, how can you say that holding such a hard, heavy thing is happiness? If Giriraj is actually floating, then tell him to remove himself from your finger and float around in the sky to show me. Madhu Mangal said to Yashoda Mai, he said, why are you speaking like this? Yashoda Mai said, my son is so impudent. He's so naughty. Why did he have to anger Indra like this? Madhu Mangal said, if Indra wasn't angry, we wouldn't be having this incredible festival of standing under Govardhan Hill with Krishna. In this way, there was beautiful reciprocations according to each devotee's ras or particular temperament of love with Krishna. But it was an incredible festival because all day and all night, for even a moment, no one was separated from Krishna. The rains were pouring down on top of Govardhan Hill. But please understand this. These rains of devastation were pouring so hard, and Indra was sending countless of the most powerful thunderbolts in the universe on Govardhan Hill. But because Giriraj was feeling the touch of the tip of the finger of Krishna's left hand, Krishna was investing so much nectar and so much love, so much ecstasy into Govardhan, that even though he's a massive mountain, that little tiny tip of a finger touch infused him with so much happiness, made him so totally indestructible that he didn't feel anything. He felt the thunderbolts to be like showers of soft lotus flower petals. He felt the rains of destruction to be a very pleasing abhishekam. In fact, instead of causing any destruction to Govardhan Hill, the more the rain fell, the more Govardhan Hill glowed with beauty and ecstasy as it was just being cleansed and nourished by the rains. Days were passing. Indra was becoming so frustrated. The strongest winds of the universe were all completely fixed on Indra's destruction with the instruction on the one mission of blowing Govardhan Hill off Krishna's finger. But they couldn't do it. Meanwhile, the wild animals that were living on top of Govardhan Hill, they were so empowered by Krishna's little finger and by his mercy and blessings underneath the hill. Even though they were on top of the hill, they were completely happy. The lions, they were so empowered by Krishna underneath that they went to the peaks of Govardhan Hill and they saw these massive Sambartaka clouds, very fearful. And the lions were thinking these are big elephants. And they started roaring. And with their claws started scratching at the Sambartaka clouds. And this was too much for the clouds. They scattered in all directions to escape from the elephants who were empowered by Krishna. The peacocks were dancing blissfully. There was a storm out on the top of Govardhan Hill, and there was another type of storm underneath Govardhan Hill. The rainbow was Krishna's peacock feather on his hair. The rain cloud was Shyam Sundar, the beautiful monsoon-like complexion of Lord Krishna. The lightning was Krishna's lightning-like colored dhoti and outer cloth. And the love that was pouring from Krishna's glance and from Krishna's lovely smile was like a storm that was flooding the hearts of all the Brijbasis. And the Kostubha Mani on Krishna's chest was like the sun that was illuminating all directions. Indra was really getting frustrated. Meanwhile, as he was increasing the intensity of his attack, with his left hand, Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, and with his right hand, he placed his flute to his mouth and started playing wonderful, sweet songs to enchant the hearts of all of his devotees. As Krishna started to play the flute, Madhu Mangal cried out, "Don't play your flute! We have all seen the effect that your flute has on your devotees. Govardhan is Haridas Varya. He's the best of all your devotees. If he hears your enchanting flute, he may fall unconscious and fall off your finger and crush everybody." And another gopa was thinking out loud. He said, "We have seen that when Krishna plays his flute, liquid objects like ponds become solid and mountains melt. If the sweet song of Krishna's flute causes Giriraj to melt in ecstasy, then we will all be destroyed." And another gopa said, no, Govardhan is very sober. He will not melt. Krishna will protect." And meanwhile, Krishna was glancing at all of his devotees as he was playing his beautiful flute. And our acharyas tell us that Krishna gazed upon the beauty of Sri Radharani, and she showered upon him the sweet love through her glance. And Krishna, experiencing the love of Sri Radha, his own pleasure potency, he began to tremble. And as he trembled, the cowherd men were thinking, Govardhan Hill is about to fall. Krishna's getting tired. So they took sticks and they stuck the sticks against the hill. And they were thinking, we're holding it up. Madhu Mangal, he said, "Why are you all wasting your time? Do you not know that my friend Krishna is the younger brother of Balaram? He does not need your help. He is all powerful. All you're doing with your sticks is uselessly scratching the bottom of Govardhan Hill." Krishna told to Madhu Mangal, he said, "Why are you saying like this? They are expressing their parental loving affection toward me. Let them offer their love for me in this way." But the gopis understood why Krishna was actually, and Balaram understood. The power of the love of Sri Radha. Some of our acharyas explain that from the gopis' perspective, Krishna was, through Radharani's glance, she was empowering Krishna to hold up the Govardhan Hill. There are literally unlimited various descriptions from different perspectives of divine love that was going on during this Govardhan Leela. And Yashoda Mai, she started crying out to Krishna, "You've already been holding up this hill for so many days, and your face is shriveled, and your stomach is all caved in, and you're perspiring. You need something to eat. I have brought fresh, sweet, warm cakes for you to eat, my child. Please, don't you see, even the cows, they won't eat unless you eat, and they're so hungry, so please eat. Put down your flute and eat." And Krishna said, "Oh, my mother, if it makes you, I'm not hungry and I'm not thirsty and I'm not tired, but if it makes you happy, I will eat your cakes." And Madhu Mangal said, "Yes, yes." "And then we will all eat her cakes." This way, there was such a beautiful festival beneath the Govardhan Hill. In all those 7 days and 7 nights, the Samvartaka clouds came back to Indra with a report that with all the winds and all the rains and all the thunderbolts, we could not slightly move a single grain of dust from Govardhan Hill. Out of the hundreds of billions of leaves on the trees of Govardhan Hill, we could not separate a single leaf from a tree. We could not uproot even one tiny blade of grass. And we're totally exhausted. We can't do anything else. We're crippled. We give up, Indra. We can't do it anymore. That only made Indra even more angry. And with his wind gods and with himself, he just increased until he was totally exhausted, and he saw how Krishna can totally deflate a person's pride. Thoroughly. Can you imagine? He couldn't move a grain of dust. Even when Krishna first went to lift Govardhan Hill, just to make Indra really, really feel himself insignificant, before lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna didn't even bother to tighten his belt, which he would do to practically any other demon he would attack. After 7 days and 7 nights, as the Brijabasis were just gazing at this tribhanga form, threefold bending form of Krishna playing his flute while lifting the Govardhan Hill, Indra realized that this little boy is the supreme personality of Godhead, and I am so ignorant, so foolish, that I'm condemning him saying that he's telling the Vrijavasis to worship a hill instead of me, God. He's God. Indra, it is explained that those 7 days for Indra were like 7 millenniums of intense, agonizing pain. But for the Vrijavasis under the hill, those 7 days were like 7 hours of ecstatic happiness. Yegatamam prapadyante. Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. Indra wanted to devastate Vrindavan, but in the end, it was Indra who was devastated. And in shame, he left that place. The clouds went away, the rain stopped, and the sun came out. Nobody wanted to leave. You see, the gopas would be in separation from Krishna all night, waiting for the next morning. The cows and the calves the same way. Yashodamai and Nanda Maharaj, they would be in separation from Krishna all day when he would be herding the cows, waiting for him to come back at night. So this sambhog and vipralamba was always activating and interacting to increase the ecstasies of the loving relationships between Krishna and devotees. But for the first and only time during this Giriraj Leela, everyone was constantly with Krishna. And everyone was feeling Krishna's love intimately, specially, only for them. Krishna smiled and said, "Now the rains have stopped and everyone is safe, so you can return to your homes." With great difficulty, they embraced Krishna in their heart of hearts and they went to their homes. And the cows and the calves left, but it was just irresistible. They all ran back under the hill to be with Krishna again. And Krishna, with his glance, he herded them out from the hill. And then, as effortlessly as he lifted Giriraj, he placed Govardhan down exactly where he had picked him up from. And then they all returned to their homes and they were all exclaiming, "How wonderful is Krishna!" All that could be heard throughout the whole Brij Bhumi was the chanting of Krishna's glories and his holy names. Krishna came out from Govardhan Hill. Everyone expressed their love and gratitude according to their relationships. Krishna's seniors, they embraced him. They kissed him. For the Brahmins, they came and chanted mantras to bless him. For his friends, they embraced him and they joked with him and they danced with him. And the gopis, from a little distance away, they just enshrined him within their heart of hearts, and he did the same for them. Yashodamai, she started massaging Krishna's finger and kissing it. "Oh, it must have hurt so much long time. You were holding up that big mountain," and she was massaging his arms. Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram, they showered Krishna with such affection. The gopas, the elder gopas, They went to meet Nanda Maharaj. Please tell us, how is this possible? Krishna's just a 7-year-old little boy whose body is soft like butter, and yet not only did he lift the Govardhan Hill for 7 days, but he completely conquered Indra, the king of heaven. How is this possible? We've been noticing these things about Krishna since his birth. He sucked the breast of that gigantic Rakshasi Putana. And then that demon who came as a ghost, the Shakatasura, with his little tiny lotus foot, he kicked and destroyed him. This is interesting. This is a speciality of Vrindavan's Leela. Krishna doesn't have to exert himself to kill demons. Shakatasura was one of the most powerful of all demons. Now, when Vamanadev wanted to conquer Bali Maharaj, he expanded to such an incredible size to take 2 massive steps. To take those 2 steps, he had to become that big to cover the universe. When the Lord wanted to liberate Hiranyakashipu, he took the form of Narasimhadev, and he fought with him for hours and hours before tearing him up with his nails. Krishna did the same thing to a demon that was just as powerful. He didn't become big. He didn't become hard. He just is a little tiny baby with a soft little lotus foot. He just touched the cart with the tip of the toe of his foot and destroyed him. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. The gopas were saying, we have seen Tranavarta and Bakasura and Vatsasura and how he subdued Kaliya and Denukasura. And now what we saw today, how is this possible? Can you tell us, Nanda Maharaj, who is your son? Srila Prabhupada named the chapter of this Srimad Bhagavatam Wonderful Krishna. Nanda Maharaj told that when Garga Muni performed the name-giving ceremony, he secretly told me these words, that this son, he comes in different ages with different colors, sometimes white, sometimes red, sometimes yellow. Now he's come in this blackish form. And he comes to annihilate all obstacles. He's the friend of the demigods. He removes all inauspiciousness. He's the protector of his devotees. And he's as good as Lord Narayan. So all the cowherd men, they were thinking, oh, that's it. Our little Krishna is empowered by Narayan. So they were satisfied. And they all went home. And meanwhile, Giridhari, he understood the condition of Indra. Indra was beside himself in guilt and grief. Because Krishna's his guru. Krishna's his worshipable Lord. And he made such an offense. He was approached by his own, the guru of the demigods, Brihaspati. And Indra said, what am I going to do? And Brihaspati said, you are such an ignorant fool, Indra. What have you done? Intoxicated by your power, by your opulence of wealth, by your fame, look what you've done. I don't know what to tell you, but you should go to Lord Brahma. He's the only one who can help. Indra went to Lord Brahma, seeking some guidance. And Brahma said, recently I also made some mistakes with Krishna. I stole all his calves and all his coward boys. I'm not in a position to tell you what to do, but I can tell you what you should do. Krishna loves the cows. So go to Surabhi. There is a material planet in this universe called Goloka, where Surabhi is the presiding mother of the cows. If she begs for Krishna to forgive you, then Krishna will forgive you. So here is the king of heaven, Indra, the leader of the devatas, the wielder of the thunderbolt, who's falling at the lotus-like hooves of a mother cow. This is humbling for Indra, but it's just what he needed. And he's begging this mother to save him because she loves Krishna and Krishna loves her. This is a very important principle. In this world, all of us have made countless offenses due to false pride, trying to be the controller, the enjoyer, the proprietor. Krishna will hear our prayers if we humble ourselves before those who Krishna loves. Surabhi said, let us go to Vrindavan. And Indra was behind her. Krishna didn't want to further humiliate Indra any longer. He already had enough of this medicine. So Krishna went to a secluded place. At the Govardhan Parikrama, there is a place called Surabhi Kund. Surabhi told Indra, you wait here. Surabhi went before Krishna. And Krishna was very, very happy to see her. And she said, Indra has performed grievous offenses, but he's feeling deeply repentant. He's your devotee. Please let him come to you and forgive him. And then Surabhi went and told Indra, now you go before Krishna and you surrender to him. When a devotee on our behalf prays for Krishna to forgive us and accept us, if we are sincere, like Indra was, then Krishna will forgive and accept us. We began the yatra by quoting Srila Prabhupada. He was asked, what was our qualification to receive this most elevated spiritual knowledge and the highest opportunities for prema bhakti? Srila Prabhupada said, you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications. Srila Prabhupada is speaking about Srimati Radharani. She says, if we become the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, then Radharani will come before Krishna and say, please accept this devotee. He or she is better than me. And when Srimati Radharani asks Krishna that, then Krishna naturally and the power of her love must accept us. And the power of Srila Prabhupada's love, Sri Radharani and Krishna will naturally respect, accept us. He's given us everything in loving service. So two things are required. The intervention of a lover of Krishna and our own sincerity. Sarabhi pleaded on behalf of Indra. And then Krishna opened his heart to receive Indra. And Krishna sees what's in the heart. Indra placed his crowned head on Krishna's feet. Even though he had the jewels of his crown of the King of Heaven, the beautiful light of the jewels of Krishna's toenails made Indra's crown insignificant. King of Heaven falling down, and Krishna's just a little cowherd boy roaming through the forest. And Indra offered beautiful prayers. You are the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes. You descend to this world to annihilate the ignorance and the darkness and to protect your devotees. And you have so expertly, mercifully protected me. Because of my power and my fame and my prestige, because of all the wealth that I'm surrounded by and all the enjoyments that are at my disposal, I became so proud, so intoxicated, that I turned envious and violent toward you and your devotees. But you are so kind that you perform this beautiful pastime as Giri Varadhari just to crush that pride, and now I'm standing before you as your eternal loving servant. Please accept me. Indra was grateful for the punishment he received. Tateinu kampam susamikshamano. This is a principle. When we are grateful for the purifications or the punishments or the rectifications that Krishna gives us, however painful they may be, then we are actually candidates to receive Krishna's full mercy. Indra was humiliated. He was totally defeated. But he was grateful. Srila Prabhupada describes the first meeting with his Guru Maharaj. It's a very different situation, but it's so interesting to hear. Giriraj Maharaj was talking about it. That on the first meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, Prabhupada presented certain arguments to him, and Prabhupada, with such gratitude, with such joy, he would say, and I'm happy to tell you, my Guru Maharaj defeated me. To be grateful, to be defeated by Krishna, by the Vaishnavas, is a qualification, and that was Indra's qualification. He surrendered. And Krishna told Indra, yes, I had to smash your false ego. Now go back to your abode. I'm not going to take away your post. Whatever you're doing, I'm giving you the post. I'm giving you the power to do it. I'm not going to take it away. Rectify yourself. Go back. But don't become arrogant anymore. Be sober. This is Krishna's definition of being sober, to be humble. Because ego is an intoxication. It's the worst of all intoxications. To be sober spiritually means to be humble. Trinadapi sunichena, taror ibasa hishnuna. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Then Surabhi approached Krishna and said, as the mother of the cows, we don't need Indras like this one. We want you, Krishna, to be our Indra. So we want to perform the Abhishekam to coronate you as our king. And Krishna accepted it. And Surabhi, with the milk from her udder and the Surabhi cows, they bathed Krishna. And Indra had Airavata bring water from the Akash Ganga of the heavenly worlds to offer Abhishekam to Krishna. And there was a beautiful, beautiful Abhishekam. And Krishna's eternal name from the spiritual world of Goloka descended at that time. And Krishna was then given the name here in Gokul Vrindavan, Govinda. Lord Shiva came, Lord Brahma came, the wives of the devas and the rishis came. They performed this incredible Abhishekam, and they installed Krishna in a beautiful throne, and they offered him wonderful aartis, and each of the devas were giving Krishna special gifts. And then they all went back to their abodes with great happiness. And the little cowherd boys, they happened to come by, and they saw these heavenly chamaras and these heavenly paraphernalia for aartis. And they've just, in a playful way, they called Balaram and put Krishna on a little throne of stones with Balaram, and they started offering all of these things to Krishna and smiling and laughing and making jokes. And when the demigods looked down and they saw the intimacy of the love that the gopas were offering their worship of Krishna, the demigods realized that our worship was devoid of any real love at all. And then Nanda and Yashoda came with the older cowherd men and cowherd ladies, and they saw this incredible paraphernalia, and the gopas were just playing with it all, having games. And they said, what's happening here? And Sri Dama said, well, this was all laying here, so we're all playing with Krishna with it. And Madhu Mangal said, should I tell you what I saw? I saw a talking cow. And then I saw this big person with thousands of eyes and crowns bowing down to Krishna. And then I saw a person with four heads and another person with five heads with folded palms offering prayers to Krishna. And then the Brijabasis told Yashodamai that Krishna is our beloved. And Mother Yashoda, with her loving parental affection, she offered aarti to Krishna. Not as the Supreme Lord, like the demigods were doing, but she was offering for Krishna's protection and for Krishna's happiness. Govardhan Puja is a pastime that Krishna performed so that for all time to come, we could look forward to this day for the most joyous, beautiful festival, to be together to remember Krishna with love, to pray to Krishna with love, to learn all these invaluable lessons of pure devotional service, and to loudly chant the holy name. And now, the brief introduction is complete. We are so honored to hear the glories of Giriraj Maharaj from Giriraj Maharaj. Let us welcome him to our yachana. Thank you very much.